Love him to death. I miss him so much. He moved 11 hours from me. Used to be 2.5, well, depending on how fast the drill was there. And then we'd just go up and go fishing and laugh and giggle. And now, we don't see each other much.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Well, I want to say I appreciate that meal. Amen. That was good. You guys sure know how to stuff a missionary. Amen. That was good stuff. I saw some missionaries, they were stuffing it in their pockets. Them biscuits. Oh, amen. Well, let me just get right into it tonight. I do have a display board with some prayer cards, and you might want to update yours. I've added a little gray. Deb has not.
Chrome.
Deb has not added any. And or either that or she has a hair color. Or I'm not sure. Anyhow, she does tell me to tell you howdy, and she wishes she could be here, but she found out this week that she just short of having pneumonia, and so I told her go to bed, and that's what husbands are supposed to do, right? Amen. I can cook for myself, or there's always McDonald's, and so... We'll take some questions in a minute, so you'll be thinking about some questions. And just, if you will, find John chapter number 6 tonight. I'd like you to go over there. I want to try to help you with some math. How many of you love math? Amen. I hate you guys. John chapter number 6. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. We've been on the Yakima Indian Reservation in the state of Washington now for, September will be 14 years. Church is up and going, taking care of itself. Has a few bills we're working on, trying to get those taken care of. But for the most part, the church is paying for itself, other than, of course, the pastor. And once they get their property paid off, that shouldn't be a problem for them to do, and which is our goal, is get them where they can afford a pastor, and then either raise one up there or have one somebody come in. So John chapter 6, and verse 1, it says, after these things Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Lord, we come before you tonight thanking you again, Father, for the way you work in our lives. Thank you that Deb is on the mend. And Lord, we pray that you bless tonight and this weekend, Lord, that you might help all of us to see a little further. Help us see, Father, that from where we're at, we can almost see the top of the hill. And God, I pray tonight that you'd help us to, as Pastor and I was talking earlier, finish well. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Philip here wonders how in the world they're going to buy enough bread for everybody. Verse 8 says, and one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, and so the men sat down in a number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Now, the thing I want us to see, just a couple of things. Look at verse 6 with me, because this is something that I feel like in our day is missing. Verse 6 it says, "And this he said to prove him for himself, for he himself knew what he would do." And many times you and I like to use the addition that we've been taught. 2 plus 2 is 4. 3 plus 3 is... Oh, today it's 5, right? And the new math. Some of you that have that new math, I don't know, I barely got the old math, much less this new stuff. But here, Jesus is at work, and anytime you get the Lord working, the math never adds up in our minds. But it always adds up for Him. Because He knows what He's doing. He sees the beginning from the end. It would do us good if we would just learn to trust. The disciples here, they've been traveling with the Lord for quite some time by this time. And you'd think they would get it. But it takes us a while. We're kind of thick. And it seems like we have to be convinced over and over and over again. But God's math always adds up. It's always sufficient. Verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes. And watch this, as much as they would. And when they were filled. Now the disciple had just told him a few minutes ago that there, even if they had 200 penny worth, I don't know how much money that was, but whatever figure it was, it would be maybe enough to get everybody a little. Now, I know how people are, and we don't want just a little. Amen? Some of you that got into candy there a few minutes ago, you were just kind of upset that they were so small. No, really we weren't. But here, the Lord is just trying to show us that with Him, it'll always be sufficient. It'll always be enough. It will always meet the need. And too many times we like to think that somehow it's going to be short. Somehow it's not going to work. Somehow it just is not going to make it. But with the Lord, it will always make it. I'm amazed at the provision that God has provided over the years. We started out in, I'll tell you how old I am. We started out for the mission field in 89, and we were on the road only for about a year. We were in 96 churches, and yet here I stand today to tell you that God has always met the need. My math never did add up. It still doesn't add up. But His math over the years has always been sufficient. It's always met the need. And so now for some 30-some years, I've witnessed God's miracle of provision. I've saw the Lord work in places where I never even knew He was even there. We think that we only have a little, or that we can only do so much. I can remember back in church, growing up in a church just like this one, preach the same book. Amen. I've known you a long time, preacher, some 20-some years, and you still think that King James is the one. Amen. And it is. But I can remember growing up in church just like this as a young man, just new to church. I wasn't raised in church, but I got into church in my early 20s, and I can remember sitting in the pew and listening to the preacher preaching, and I would see folks get up and sing, and wasn't that great singing a while ago, and playing pianos, and people, I've witnessed them playing guitars. I've had probably a half a dozen people give me guitars, and my fingers still don't work those guitars. I've tried hours and hours. I've heard people say, all you got to do is practice.
Yeah.
Practice. I've literally had the ends of my fingers bleeding. And it just will not come. I mean, it's just not there. Amen? It doesn't work. I tell people the only instrument I can play is I can blow my nose a little bit. Amen? That's about the only talent that I could figure out that I had, is that I can keep my sinuses clear. All right? And as a young man sitting in the pew, I wondered, why am I here? What good am I, other than just being able to sit and take up room? I don't have any talents. I don't play any instruments. I'm not talented at book work or any of those things. What good am I? And as I sat there, I realized something. I may not have any talents, but there's one thing that I can do as well as anybody on the planet. I can be faithful.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And so for some 30-something years, we've just tried to be faithful.
Amen.
God can use you if you're faithful.
Amen.
Talents come and go.
Yeah.
Voices come and go.
Yeah.
I have a lady comes up to the reservation. She's been coming for some 17 or 18 years. Her and her husband used to come. Then he died. I don't want to say I killed him. He was 85 years old and he was mudding sheetrock in our fellowship hall on a stool, 85 years old. And I went around the corner and I looked at him. He's just pasty white. Brother Lonnie, you got to come off that stool. And he had a heart attack. Send him back to Texas. I said, I don't want you dying in Washington. I don't want your children saying you died at Brother Holman's. You need to go home. So we put him in the back of a SUV on a mattress and hauled him to Texas. You can die in Texas.
Amen.
Well, he did. He actually didn't die from a heart attack, but about a year later he died of pneumonia. But anyhow, his wife still comes back to the reservation. She's been doing it now for probably about 6 or 7 years on her own. She asked me last year, she said, Brother Holman, can you use an old 90-year-old woman? I said, with God's help, we can. You mean I can come back? I said, you bet. You come back. Long as you want to come. God can use people that are faithful. When I come back here, I just know that I'm going to see some familiar faces. And that's a blessing. Because when it's all said and done, the talents ain't going to mean much. But the faithfulness will. So I'm glad to see you faithful tonight. That's all we're doing, is just trying to be faithful. And you got any questions for me about where we're at, what we're doing? I had one of our men come to me one day and he said, boy, aren't you glad you moved over here into God's country? And I look over and I see the back of one mountain, just a little bit of it. And I look and I see one other mountain. That's all I can see. And I said, well, if you've never seen God's country, I guess this is okay. I said, well, Brother Holman, you're kind of hard. Well, yeah, we are. In fact, some of our church folks think we ought to rename our church from Lower Valley Indian Baptist Church to Tough Skin Indian Baptist Church. And I tell our folks, if you can last 2 weeks at our church, you're in.
Yeah.
I did have to learn something new over there, and that was how to preach to white people. I never had that problem up here on the Blackfeet Reservation. We were 98%. The only white people I saw was my wife. Amen. She had to be there.
Yeah.
But we get over there, and the population is divided basically into thirds. You have about a third is Indian people. It's about 9,000 Indian folk on the reservation there. You have about 9,000 to 11,000 Mexican people there.
Wow.
And then you have just about that many white people in that area. And so I pretty much had to learn, like I say, how to preach to different white people. Are hard to preach to. And I can make Indians laugh, smile all day. White people, they just sit there. It's like, man, you guys watch more comedy or something. I don't know. Questions. Who's got some questions for me?
How's the weather over there?
Weather. Hot. 80 degrees when I left there yesterday. Oh, it's crazy. I get up in the morning, it's about 55 degrees. Go outside there and the sun's coming up and it's just gorgeous. Up about 80. It gets hot in the summer. 100 degrees, 110 degrees. But it cools off at night because we're in the high desert. We're about 1,200 feet above sea level. I know that's a long ways down from here. I always made a joke when we lived up in the mountains to the Crow people down below us. I said, how's the water down there? And they'd smile and said, well, we washed our feet in it yesterday. So I was just wondering if it come out clean down there. So 1,200 feet above sea level, that was a little different getting used to. But it gets real cold at night. In the summertime, it'll get about 50 degrees at night, which is nice. And then, of course, it's 110 in the daytime. Very dry like over here. It's pretty dry. And it doesn't rain much. Oh, my goodness. They get about 290 days of sun, I guess. So there's a lot of sunshine, which we like. Amen. Vitamin D is good for you.
When you started that church, how many was in there?
Zero. Yeah, started with zero. Had
why'd you start it?
We actually had a lady, I don't know if any of you remember Cynthia Oldperson from up on the reservation in Browning, but she was married to one of the old persons. I'll not say his name because I think he might still be in jail now. But anyhow, they end up getting a divorce. But when she was up here on the Blackfeet Reservation on Wednesday nights, we take prayer requests. And her prayer request for 5 years in a row was that God would start a church on her reservation for her people. And little did we know, as we were helping her pray, that that we'd be instrumental in that, and you as well. And so praise the God, praise the Lord that she's there with us now, helping out in the church. She helps my wife every Sunday morning with the kids and getting them breakfast and that. We feed every Sunday morning. We feed the kids. And a lot of them, that's just about all the good food they'll get. They get a lot of junk food. Oh, this generation is junk food addicts. But anyway, so they're getting good enough. So we started a church with Cynthia, and then we were actually blessed. We had another family that they had been saved, but they were out of church, and through visitation we found them, and so they started coming. They had some kids, and so then right now we're averaging about 55 on Sunday mornings. We'll average about 45 on Wednesdays. So they just about all of them come back. We've seen last 3 weeks, we've had 15 saved, and so God's been good that way. It's just a real blessing. One of the families, the little girl, 9 years old, I'll share this with you, and then if you got some questions, but she's 9 years old. She come over across the road. She lives in apartments across the highway, and she come over on a Wednesday night, and she said, "Do you guys let kids come here?" And I said, "Well, of course we do." And so, come on in. And so she started coming on Wednesday nights. And her prayer request was that God would save her family. God answered her prayer in the last couple of weeks. And we got to see her dad walk the aisle and get saved. And then the next night, special meetings, but the next night, Mama walked the aisle. Unbeknownst to her, the little 9-year-old, had taken her brother home. So that Mom and Dad could stay at church. And the mom got saved, so the little girl didn't see her mama get saved. And so it was about 20 minutes after church, I got a little pull on my side of my vest, and here it was raining, and she says, "Thank you so much for giving my mama the gospel." And what a blessing it is to see a whole family saved. And so praise God for that. But yeah, so it's going, and that's because you're here is why it's going there. And
We know that for a fact. Questions? I saw a hand somewhere. Right here. Washington. State of Washington. It's we're about 40 minutes south of Yakima City on the Yakima Indian Reservation. So, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I think that's what it says. So are you going to move from Yakima when they get a full-time pastor?
I don't even want to think about that, but yes. Amen. Yeah, we think we got at least one more in us somewhere, Lord willing. And we're looking at three different reservations right now with nothing on them. So, yeah. So, amen.
Can you name them?
I'll name two of them.
Okay.
One of them is a Umatilla in Oregon. The other is the Flathead in Montana. I've driven, did I say drove? Drove through? Driven through. One of the English teachers. Anyway, we went through the reservation, Flathead reservation, many, many, many times between Washington and my daughter still lives up in Browning. And so back and forth. And every time I go through, my heart just hurts. I've witnessed at least four missionaries go there and die, and not literally die, but just leave broken and miserable and nothing lasting, nothing there. It's a hard place, no doubt, but there's hard places everywhere. Anyway, we think we have a plan. Lord being our help, that might be a spot. Yes, ma'am. Altogether, about 28,000 people. So, not a lot, but that's in about a 20-mile radius. Yes, sir.
Is the economy on the reservation Yakima different than the economy?
Huge, huge difference. There's so much work there because of the produce and apples they grow. They can grow any produce that you can. In fact, they were harvesting. Pastor already got after me. They're harvesting asparagus right now. And so he chewed me out for not bringing him some. I apologize. I left in a hurry. But anyhow, so everything from asparagus to potatoes, onions, everything you can grow, they grow it there. They have that volcanic dust that has for years piled up in the valley there. And so when Mount St. Helens blew up in 80, the valley had about 6 or 8 inches of
dust,
volcanic ash. And so so that helped. That's amazing produce over there. When we first got over there, I wanted to grow a garden. I have some farming in my background. And so I wanted to grow a garden, got out there and broke up the ground and all the weeds come up, and I went and bought produce that year, and then decided that I could actually, because I bought it that year, I saw I could actually buy it cheaper than I could raise it, so, and a whole lot easier, a lot less weeds. And so we buy a lot of produce, which is something we couldn't do over here. It's amazing. I love vegetables. Oh, I love them. And so it's just a blessing getting fresh and fruit, apples. We get the apples before everybody else does. And you know, in the South, we always get apples. They had wax on them. We never knew why they had wax on them. Yeah, it's because they're a year old. It's amazing to pick one off the tree and eat it. Amen? Some of you know that, so that's a blessing. Other questions? Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, we do. We live right on the reservation. Yeah. Amen.
Can we come and visit you?
Yes, you may come and visit me. Open door policy, just show up. We'll build you a cup of coffee and treat you so many ways you'll have to like one of them.
Well, I've heard of the Yakima Indians a very long time, but I'm not sure their style of life as opposed to the Blackfeet and the Piegan and that whole nation, the Five Nations, okay? Were they teepee dwellers? Were they mud hut adobe dwellers? What kind of people?
Good question. Good question. I have some pictures back there. You can take a look at some of it. But they would live along the river. We call them river people. A lot of people just group all the Indians together. Indians, Indians, Indians. But that's so far from the truth. Plains Indians are tall of stature, fleet of foot, if you will. They grew up on the plains, chasing the animals and that, moving, very nomadic over there. They stayed along the rivers, and they build what's called longhouses, and basically just short sticks and a lot of mud and thatching, and that their diet was pretty much fish, a lot of fish. Blackfeet won't eat fish. They say it's because they made one of the chiefs made a deal with the fish people, and in our heritage up here, one of our chiefs went up in the mountains and a fish bit him, and so he made a pact with the fish, telling the fish that if they wouldn't bite him when he went swimming, he wouldn't eat their children. So that's, I don't know if that's any truth to that, but they still don't eat fish. I don't know too many Blackfeet that eat fish other than me. I love fish, but I grew up in Texas, and they eat all the fish that you can that they can get. So I love fish. But amen.
All right. It's skip time.